Morning, everyone. My name's Ryan, and I'll be bringing the message for you this morning. And let's start by praying. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, who came from heaven to earth to save us and to show us your love. I pray that you would open our hearts to your love this morning. Let your spirit pour it out into our hearts, Lord, that we might receive it and leave here changed with our hearts full and love to share with others too. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was young, I lived in China for a while with my family. And there we bought a small dog, Ruffles. Ruffles was probably too young to leave her mum. And as a little 9-year-old, my heart went out to this poor little puppy. I really wanted to take care of her and give her a good home. And as Ruffles grew older, I reluctantly cleaned up after her mess and changed her water and took her on walks and fed her. I loved that dog. But being a little boy, I was also mean to her at times. And so one day, she turned around and bit me. I was so shocked. How could that happen? Well, I still loved Ruffles anyway, but our relationship was a little more tense from then on. And then one day, my parents decided it was time to come back to Australia. So we packed up and came to Adelaide. And we couldn't take Ruffles with us. I was pretty sad, but soon we got another dog here in Adelaide, and Ruffles faded into a distant memory. Such is the fickle love of a young boy, right? Ruffles couldn't rely on my love and loyalty any more than I could rely on hers. And human relationships can be like that sometimes too, right? I mean, most Australian marriages start with vows to love the other person no matter what. Till death do us part. But 1/3 of marriages end in divorce. And how many of us still talk to our first school friend? Life happens, people change, mates move away, we grow apart. Human love is unreliable. It can't fully meet our needs. Only one source of love is truly lasting, satisfying, and reliable. And that's God's love, demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And Romans 1, 31 to 39 draws together everything we've covered in chapter 8 so far. In verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" And he concludes that God is overwhelmingly for us. To show you what he means, today we'll look at 5 reasons God's love is reliable. 5 reasons we can always rely on God's love. And the first reason is that God's love is a love that gives. God's love gives. So we know one reason human love is unreliable is that people can be selfish. We put ourselves first. We're happy to enter a relationship and give to the other person if we get what we want from that relationship. For example, you might date a girl because you find her good looking and you like the attention she gives you. Or you become friends with someone because you both like hiking and it's way more fun to hike with someone else than on your own. Human love is often reluctant to give but happy to take. But God's love is different. Let's look at verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God the Father gave up his own son, Jesus, for us all. There was nothing more precious in all the universe for him to give. The Son is infinitely beautiful, arrayed in glory with the Father from eternity past. And when Jesus becomes human like us, remember what God the Father says when he's baptized? He says, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." Jesus is the only one good enough to actually please God. And the Father and the Son loved each other even before the world was created. And yet, the Father gives up his only Son, his precious Son, for us. Jesus willingly came to die for our sake. And so Paul concludes, if God has already given us his best, why would he withhold anything else from us? So we mustn't ever think that God wants to withhold anything from us. Even when he doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he should. You know, we often don't know the best things to pray for, do we? We saw that last week. So if God doesn't give us something that we've asked for, we know that it's for the best, it's for our good, to conform us to Christ. But one day God will give us all things, Paul says. When Jesus comes back and renews this earth, Jesus is going to rule over it. And we're going to rule over it with him in glorious splendor. So we can rely on God's love. He already gave his best for us. So he's certainly not going to change his mind on us now. God's love gives. Secondly, we can rely on God's love because it's a love that defends. God's love defends. I remember back when I started my first engineering job in defense. In the first week, I did the initial induction reading and training. I completed the first task my new boss gave me, and then nothing. My boss wouldn't give me work because it was too hard to pause what he was working on to task me. And to be fair, he was pretty loaded down with work. But a few weeks in, his boss, the squadron leader, came and asked me how I was going in the new job. And I was honest. I said, well, I'm enjoying it, but I'm not getting much work to do. I don't feel like I'm really developing. And one day, soon after, I'm walking past the squadron leader's office on the way home, and I hear yelling. And so, of course, I slow down to hear what's going on. And it turns out the squadron leader's yelling at my boss for not giving me enough work. And the next day, straight away, my boss comes over and he gives me a proper engineering task. And, you know, it felt kind of good to have the squadron leader in my court defending me. And that's what you want, right? You want your wife or your husband or your mum or your dad or your brother or your sister to step in and defend you when you need it. That's what they'll do if they love you, right? There's just one problem. The one accusing us is Satan, an immensely powerful archangel. And in our case, we're not innocent. We have done wrong. All of us have disobeyed God's law. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Who of us has fully done that? And Jesus also said that we need to treat each other as we want to be treated. Have any of us always done that? And the problem is, if we haven't, we've disobeyed God. We've broken his law. We've all sinned and Satan knows it. So he accuses us. He wants God to judge us and throw us out of his presence. But do you know what God does? He defends us. He doesn't judge or condemn you if you believe in Jesus. And Paul asks in Romans 8, 33 to 34, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. See, God defends us because he gave his only Son for us, remember? Jesus carried the heavy burden of God's judgment on our behalf, in our place, when he died on that cross. He earned our forgiveness. So God doesn't just defend us. He forgives us. He justifies us. He transfers Jesus' righteousness onto us so that we can be acceptable to God too. Who's going to overrule God, the judge of the whole universe? If he acquits us, not even Satan can condemn us. So if you're here this morning and you struggle with guilt, and you feel yourself wrestling continuously against sin, you feel you can't even forgive yourself for something you've done, know this: God defends the followers of Christ. Not even Satan can keep accusing you. So why do you accuse and condemn yourself? Are we greater than God? No, my friends, let's trust his ruling. Let's rest in his forgiveness. His love is more secure than any human love. His love will always defend us, even when we're guilty. The third reason we can rely on God's love is that his love acts. His love acts. I mean, how do you know if someone really loves you? Have you ever had someone say they love you, but then hurt you or reject you in some way? What do you believe, their words or their actions? You know someone really loves you by what they do, right? But that's the problem with human love. We often say things and then we don't follow them through. We don't have to worry about that with God's love. Verse 34 says, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, Jesus, God's Son, he didn't put his feet up in heaven, basking in glory and in the worship of 1,000 angels. He came down here himself. He became a human, just like us. He suffered, just like us. He died just like us. He acted. He died to forgive us, but then he also rose from the dead. He rose to immortality. His physical body became immortal so that one day our bodies could rise and become immortal. He acted for us. Then Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. See, to sit at a king's right hand is to be the vice regent of the whole kingdom. So God has put Jesus in authority over everything. Why? Well, so that he can rescue his people. Sitting at God's right hand, he now has authority over every ruler and authority, even angels, even Satan himself. Jesus acted. And Jesus speaks to the Father for us. You see, we're stuck down here. We can't just climb up a stairway to heaven, can we? We can't bring our case before God's throne. And would we dare anyway? But Jesus speaks to him for us. He pleads with his own blood spilled for our forgiveness. He brings our needs to the Father. He continually asks the Father to act on our behalf. You see, this is an unbreakable chain. He dies for our forgiveness. He rose for our immortality. He sat in authority over our enemies, and he pleads for us before the Father. What could possibly get in the way of this love? And what more could Jesus do to prove his love? I've heard people say, you know what, unless God spontaneously lights this candle in front of me, or unless he does a miracle or a sign right in front of me, I'm not going to believe in him. How foolish. God gave his precious Son for us. And you expect God to light a candle or send you a sign from heaven? He's already done his part. The evidence about Jesus is recorded in history. It's there for us to investigate. The evidence of creation is all around us. It's our job to study it. And the real question is this: Will you do your part? Will you believe and submit your life to him? Will you trust his love? Unlike human love, it's fully proven and totally reliable. Fourth, we can rely on God's love because his love preserves us. Human love tends to fail when times get hard, but God's love preserves us. When Helen Rosevere left England as a medical missionary, she wanted to go wherever God wanted her to serve. So she trekked to the Congo in Africa. And after 10 years there, civil war broke out. The rebels seized her and 9 other missionaries. And for several weeks, she was trapped. She desperately tried to escape, but the rebels caught her and they horrifically abused her. She was crushed. She had done so much for God. Why would God let this happen to her? But then, she says, through the brutal, heartbreaking experience, God met with me. Through outstretched arms of love, he was so utterly there, so totally understanding. His comfort was so complete. He didn't take away the pain or cruelty or humiliation. No, it was all there, but now it was altogether different. It was with him, for him, in him. That's what she said. And many of God's people throughout history experience suffering like that. In fact, even the Apostle Paul, who wrote our sermon passage this morning, he was beaten and shipwrecked and imprisoned and stoned half to death. Jesus promised that his people would endure suffering. But Paul writes in Romans 8, 35 to 36, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. In verse 36, Paul is quoting Psalm 44, which we read earlier. And there, God's people cry out under oppression from their enemies, even though they'd been faithful to God. In such suffering, it's easy to think God has abandoned us. Or maybe we think suffering and persecution will deter our love for him. And then, you know, if we stop loving him, he'll turn away from us. And we might lose our salvation. But look, Paul asks us if anything can separate us from Christ's love. And he mentions this whole list of awful things that can happen to us. But if we peek ahead at verse 37, we see the answer is no. None of these things can take his love away. In fact, we learned last week that God orchestrates all of our circumstances, good and bad, suffering and prosperity. He transforms us to be like Jesus, and he will bring us to glory in the end. Jesus enters suffering for our sake. And when we endure suffering, he works it all together so that we become more like Jesus. God preserves us through the suffering. He has destined us for glory, and he will definitely get us there. People may leave you when times get hard, but know that God never will. We don't have to be terrified of suffering or persecution or hardship. It's not a sign that God disapproves of you or that God has left you. He will never do that. Believers have his approval. We always have Christ's love. We always have his spirit in our hearts, preserving our faith. His love is truly reliable. I remember I used to struggle a lot with doubt. I worried that someone much cleverer than me, someone much more educated than me, might convince me that Christianity is not true when it actually is. And then I would turn away from God and I'd be under his judgment. But then I read this passage and I realized, he's not going to let that happen. Not even doubt can separate me from his love. He promises he will not let me go. So I don't have to fear. I can actually investigate my doubts with an open mind because I know his reliable love will preserve me. And finally this morning, we can rely on God's love because his love conquers. In verse 37, Paul writes, "Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And we can think of some famous conquerors in Paul's day. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar. These emperors conquered huge swathes of land and subjected enemy kings under their rule. But Paul says we are super conquerors. Why would he say that? Well, in verses 38 to 39, Paul introduces an even bigger list of things that can't separate us from God's love. And he mentions more than just circumstances now. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? You see, we haven't just conquered a bit of land or a few kings. We have conquered every conceivable human, angelic, spiritual, military, and political power that could ever prevent us getting to God and the glory to come. Us? Yes, us. How? Well, see, none of them can keep us reaching that future glory. Remember, God will graciously give us all things. Not just the Roman Empire, not just all of Europe, the entire earth. When Jesus comes back and he recreates and renews this earth, the saints will rule over it all. But of course, we aren't the real conquering force, are we? Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through Christ. So since Christ has conquered all these powers, and he sits at God's right hand, then we, the ones he loves, will also reign over these powers with him. Jesus loved us enough to die for us, and he rules over everything. So do we really think he'll let anyone or anything get between us? See, as humans, we try to be faithful. But just like I had to leave my dog Ruffles in China, sometimes we have no choice but to leave. Your sister's work might move her somewhere else. Your friend might marry someone in another city. And often death rudely separates us from our loved ones. But nothing can separate us from God's love. Human love will let us down, but God's love conquers every obstacle. We can always rely on it. In 2024, Chuck Johnson was enjoying a pleasant bike ride in the warm, sunny afternoon when suddenly a car crashed into him, throwing him off his bike. And a week later, he died from his injuries. The driver who killed him, Joseph, was high on illegal drugs. And he was arrested, tried, and sentenced. But I don't want to focus on Chuck or Joseph. I want to focus on Chuck's widow. Because in that courtroom, she did something incredible. She walked up to Joseph and she hugged him. She hugged her husband's killer. The judge said in the courtroom he'd never seen anything like it. And when reporters asked Regina why she hugged Joseph, she said he needed a mum hug. As she hugged him, she told him she forgives him and God loves him more than he knows. She even prayed for his healing. Wasn't Regina upset about losing her husband of 50 years? Clearly, Chuck was the love of her life. But if she relied on Chuck's love to satisfy her, this disaster would have completely crushed her. But hers are the actions of someone whose heart is full. She could give sincere love to her husband's killer because she has a better love, a more secure love, a love that gives, not just takes, a love that defends her even at her worst, a love that sacrificially acts in history to save her, a love that preserves her through hard times just like these, and a love that conquers all powers and every obstacle to stop her reaching glory. Church, we can rely on God's love. So let's make it the foundation of our lives, the thing we think about most, even the air that we breathe. It doesn't disappoint. Let's rejoice because though human love will let you down, God's love never will. So we're going to stand to sing, "O Praise the Name."